We're open for business live.
This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 28th of April 2017. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. This show is going out on FM radio and through our internet live stream. It will also be available as a podcast from the Sheffield Live website. Talking about podcasts, did you catch last week's show? If you didn't, well, don't panic. You can catch up with it on the podcast section of the site. And you can explore a wealth of exciting music there too. So what's coming on today's programme? Well, we'll be talking with Social Enterprise Printed by Us about an exhibition launching today at Union Street, and a range of other social enterprises that they're involved with, and the Cathedral Arch Project is involved with. So we'll catch Terry, James and Mark talking about Printed by Us later on in the programme, so stay tuned for that. Also today, Jay Biani is back in the studio with us today, and she's going to give us an update on everything you need to know about what's going on in employment law. Whether you're a business or a social enterprise, you need to be aware of the new and the latest developments. Lots has happened since Jay was last in the studio for our regular slot. Before we turn to our guests, what else is going on this week in business and in social enterprise? Well, if I ever hear the words strong and stable ever again, I might commit heinous crimes. Unfortunately, I think I am going to hear the words strong and stable quite a lot, because they appear to be involved in pretty much every radio interview that you hear these days. It's an election campaign. What do you think? What are your views as we head towards a general election, a snap general election? Some of you got in touch with the show after I mentioned that last week to tell me what you have to say. And I'll be reading out some of those comments later on in the programme. It's a bit of a reminder, really. You can get in touch with us. You can email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. You can send a text to 07904 272 200. You can find Sheffield Live on Twitter. You can find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter as well, if you want to have your say. Put yourself forward. Comment on what's going on in business and social enterprise. And of course, ask us what you'd like us to comment. So what else has been happening this week? Well, some good news for a Rotherham-based entrepreneur who's launched a vinyl record business following a funding boost. The UK Steel Enterprise have featured on this programme a few times, and they've given a funding boost to former employees of Tata Steel, Jason Sales and Ian Hawkridge. They've established a business called Vinyl Soundbar. They set that up in December 2016, having been made redundant from their jobs after 21 years with Tata Steel. But their vinyl music hotspot, Vinyl Soundbar, is now selling CDs, audio cassettes, vinyl and event tickets. Their funding, they've got £500 from the UK Steel Enterprise Kickstart Fund, is allowing them to purchase vital equipment, help get them off the ground. So great news for them. And the Kickstart Fund that UK Steel Enterprise have used to support the business consists of a £40,000 pot dedicated to supporting people who want to establish a business in the area. Grants from £500 to £1,000 are available. So if you want to find out more about that, then you can contact Rotherham Council through Rotherham Youth Enterprise if you're aged from 18 to 30, or through the RIDO, Rotherham Investment and Development Office, if you're aged 30 plus. Now, I'll tweet the links to those out at the end of the programme, as ever. You don't have to be a Twitter registered user. You can just look up on Twitter online, look up Twitter Jamie Veitch to find the links. So if you want to find out more about that, it's really, really easy to do so. What else has been going on? Well, insurance telematics leader The Flow. They've featured on this programme several times. We've interviewed founder and chief executive Aldo Monteforti and co-founder Sam Chapman several times. This week, they've been announced as a winner of the Red Herring Top 100 Europe Award. This is a really prestigious list. It honours the year's most promising private technology ventures in the European business region. And the company has been chosen as one of the most innovative by the editorial team from Red Herring. It's been selected from a pool of hundreds from across Europe. Nominees have been evaluated on 20 different criteria, including disruptive impact, technology innovation, social value, quality of management, and much, much, much more. And so as a finalist, The Flow were invited to present even their strategy at the Red Herring Europe Forum in Amsterdam earlier on in April. And this week in April, and the top 100 winners were revealed at a special awards ceremony on Wednesday evening. Great news there, of course, for The Flow. Also great news this week for children's authors, because the popularity of children's book sales has soared to a record high in the UK last year. According to the Publishers Association, digital and printed book sales jumped by 7% in 2016 to 4.8 billion. And that's been driven by a 16% spike in revenues from children's books to £365 million. And exports of children's books from the UK rose 34% last year. That was boosted by demand from countries including China and India. So it's a great sign that the publishing industry has weathered a decade of technological disruption and found a way for printed books to coexist with digital alternatives. In fact, great news also for printed books, because ebook sales fell by 3% last year, but sales of printed books actually rose by 8% to £3 billion. That's the highest level since 2012. So excellent news for the publishing industry and for many authors in the UK too. The Digital Garage. We mentioned that last week, if you recall, but it opens today. Sheffield's the first UK city to host Google's first ever digital skills training centre, and it's located on Barker's Pool in the city centre. It's going to offer free digital skills training 7 days a week for 6 months, starting from today. Attendees will be able to learn digital skills, how to develop your web presence, grow your business, grow your charity, grow your social enterprise online, or improve your own career prospects or build your confidence if you're using online tools for the first time. British Chambers of Commerce say that more than 90% of jobs will require digital literacy in the near future, and 76% of businesses in the UK say there's a shortage of digital skills in their workforce. So Google is addressing the digital skills gap, returning to Yorkshire, and the Digital Garage opens today. It's delivered in partnership with Sheffield City Council and local partners, including the Good Things Foundation. That's a charity that supports the digitally and socially excluded to improve their lives through digital. Get on down to the Google Digital Garage opening today. Again, I'll tweet a link to find out more details at the end of this radio programme. So plenty going on. Quick reminder, do get in touch. I've already given out the ways to do that. I'll give out routes to get in touch with us once again at the end of the programme. Always interested in hearing from you, whether you're running or starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you work for yourself, someone else, you can get in touch, have your say. So time now, I think, to turn to our first guest of today. Jay Biani is in the studio. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thanks very much for coming in once again today. And it's a regular slot, our employment law update. Lots has been going on since you were last in on the show. Many things to mention. What's been catching your eye?
Well, I think that some of the things we discussed before, such as the dress issues within the workplace. There's been some developments with that. So you remember that there was the case of the woman employed by PwC who was required to wear high heels.
Indeed, yes.
Following on from the furor about that, there was a petition that she started, 150,000 signatures on that petition. And what the government have decided is that there's no need to make any change to the law, but that there will be guidance issued in the summer regarding dress codes and what's appropriate and what's not.
Right. Okay. So guidance will be issued, but the government has sort of said we're not going to do what the petitioners have asked us to do.
Yes. Yeah. I think the petition was specifically to make it unlawful to require a woman to wear high heels at work. But the government's of the view, and I must say I am as well, that the law already adequately protects you.
Yes.
If there's a genuine. You know, if you're treated detrimentally as because of your gender. So I don't think we need to do very much more with that.
The law is already there. Sorry.
It is, yeah. What does worry me is that the guidance is suggesting that they'll look at issues such as makeup and manicures and hairstyle and how much cleavage you can show. And I think we need to be a little bit careful about what sort of nanny state we have. You know, at the end of the day, surely it's something that employers and their employees should work out what's appropriate for their particular workplace.
So in terms of what's changed since the high heels case came to sort of national publicity last year, very little has changed. It's perhaps something that more people have become aware of in terms of workplace dress codes. But as you say, there are already pieces of legislation in place, and in your view as an expert observer, those are fit for purpose already.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
And beyond workplace dress codes, we've had updates on the gig economy, on freelancers, on the status of people, for example, the Uber case, and that's going to further appeal, I think, in autumn, isn't it?
It's in the 27th of September, listed for, I think, a two-day appeal hearing, which is Uber's opportunity to challenge the decision that was made at tribunal, which was that the Uber drivers are not classed as self-employed. So what that really means is that the Uber drivers, the question was, should they be entitled to certain minimum rights, such as holiday pay and sick pay? The initial finding was that they were workers and not self-employed, so they do have higher rights, and Uber have now obtained leave to appeal. I suspect that they won't succeed in their appeal because the government is on a mission to eradicate the sort of uncertain status. And I think, you know, there's a real move towards trying to get as many people employed within businesses as possible.
Right. So that's interesting. I mean, that appeal timed for the 27th of September. Mm-hmm. So that should come around the same time as Matthew Taylor presents his report into freelancers and the gig economy. He's former advisor to Tony Blair, former chief exec of the RSA, and he's now been commissioned by the government to do this review into the gig economy as well.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting when that comes out as well.
And I think, you know, there are things being looked at, such as 0 hours contracts.
Mm.
Some people successfully use them. Some people like to use them, but both from the company's perspective and the individuals. But there's some talk about introducing a sort of a minimum wage for 0 hours workers. I really don't see the point of that, you know, because there will be little point in having somebody on a 0 hours contract. But I suppose that's the mission, is to try and eradicate them. But they do work for some people, you know.
Indeed. Okay. So, well, we'll be watching this space, and we'll get you into comment on the contents of the Taylor report, of course, when that comes out as well.
Yeah.
Great. OK, so other things have been going on too. The gender pay gap disclosure legislation has come into effect from the start of April, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, from the 6th of April, any company with 250 or more employees have to publish their gender pay gap data, which in a nutshell, what it means is that they have to make public the difference between what they're paying their male employees and what they're paying their female employees. And by next year, they have to actually publish this on their websites. So some of the reports that we've already heard about with some very big companies, such as Virgin Money, have a disparity of 36%. So men are paid 36% on average more than their female counterparts. So some quite shocking figures.
Figures do look pretty shocking, don't they?
Yes, and this is very early stage. So I believe that Virgin Money had made their information public before they were actually required to. So now that it's actually in force, we've got lots to come. And I think there will be certain sectors, my own profession, the legal profession, being one of them, where I think there will definitely be a few sleepless nights for those at the top. Because if you actually analyse the difference between people, between men and women and what they're paid for exactly the same jobs, I'm absolutely sure that there'll be a big disparity.
Yes, so that disparity is going to then be highly public. What will the large employers do about it? Will they start paying women more or will they start paying men less? Will they immediately change existing terms and conditions of employment or will they only start changing terms and conditions and pay levels for new people? How will it work? How will they take action?
Well, I suspect that there'll be some trying to justify why there's a differential will probably be the first sort of, defence mechanism. Where there is a genuine disparity, they'll look at redressing that. It'd be very difficult to reduce the pay of the men that are on a higher rate of pay, so they'll have to look at increasing the pay for women. From my point of view as an employment lawyer, I'll be really interested to see what sort of litigation comes of it, because of course not all employers will comply with the requirements to publish the data in a genuine way, I think.
Yeah, that's really interesting. There'll be litigation around people not actually publishing and not getting the figures out there in the public domain as they are supposed to be. This only applies, as you say, for large employers. At the moment, But do you think there'll be pressure from those large employers that that their supply chain, that people that they give contracts to, the businesses they work with that are smaller, are published their own figures, even if they're not necessarily legally required to? Will the businesses that are being required to start putting pressure on their suppliers?
Possibly. I think what we're more likely to see is those that are confident that they are doing things as they should be will start publishing when they don't need to. Those that aren't very confident of that will wait until, they absolutely have to. I'm not sure about smaller businesses being put under pressure to disclose by bigger businesses. I don't know. I'm not sure that will happen. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. But yes, already there are press articles out there that are taking a sort of naming and shaming approach to employers who have published. You mentioned Virgin Money, for example, and you mentioned the pay disparity there, and people then can comment, they can see the gaps, and they, a lot of people will decide whether to do business with these companies on that basis as well, I suppose.
Yes, whether to do business, whether to stay employed with them.
Yeah.
It might give an opportunity to competitors to entice away really good employees.
Yes.
On the back of the loss of reputation that some of these companies will face, no doubt.
Indeed, it might. Mm. And you've had a busy week this week. You've been doing your Charity Hub event, which is a regular thing where you're offering some great speakers and advice to people.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah, that was really good. So yesterday we had Steve Buckley, who was there with his social enterprise grant funding hat on, and he was talking about all the really creative ways of being able to access money for charities and social enterprises. So that was really interesting.
Great stuff. And so it's worth looking up the Social Enterprise Exchange project that, yes. that Steve will have been discussing there. How's turnout? Was it good buzz in the room, I'm sure, for something like that?
Yeah, we had about 40 people there. It was a bit slower than previous events, and I think that's because of Easter, because you know, people had just got back. But it was, yeah, it was really interesting. And what we did, we had a different format, so we had some hot desks at the end so that people could go for more specific advice about any needs within their own charity, covering things like my area, HR and employment,
yes.
legal and governance, and finance, grant funding, digital and cyber security. So I think that worked really well.
Great stuff. Good. Good. So have we missed anything in terms of what's going on that people need to know about?
Yeah, just very quickly, the April is quite a big month in the employment law calendar. So there are some changes, some increases to the national living wage and the national minimum wage. I won't go into all the figures, but they've all increased. So the national living wage applies to those aged 25 and over. And there's a slight increase there as there is all through the bands and the apprentice rate as well.
Yep.
The statutory payments for statutory maternity pay, paternity pay, adoption pay, that they've all gone up slightly from £139.58 a week up to £140.98. So that's from the 2nd of April. So that's, you know, for some people that will make a bit of a difference.
Yes, quite.
I've got a couple of other things if we've got time.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So one interesting issue there is, I'm not going to talk in any detail today about it, but there's the big changes coming to data protection rules.
Yes.
One interesting thing that's come out at the moment is about the use of Fitbits. So I wear a Fitbit,
right.
which monitors my steps every day and various other things, how much water I'm drinking, and you know, if I want to put that data in.
Yeah, now that's for your personal benefit.
It is,
your personal use, yeah.
But what lots of companies are doing and have been encouraged to do is to encourage their employees, in fact, buy them for their employees as part of their workplace well-being initiatives. So it's a fantastic move. But now there's a question mark over the data that generates and whether the employer should be allowed to have that data.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, in the same way as you're not allowed to gather medical data about an employee unless you can justify why. So, you know, to have this data about the lack of exercise that an employee's doing or, you know, the lack of fitness is a question mark. So I think, you know, practically the best thing for an employer to do is not to give up on these things, but to get something signed to get the employee's consent that they can have this data.
Right, yes. So if you're going to as a perhaps an employee benefit give people Fitbits along as some employers do, access to other initiatives to support people's health and well-being, you need to be thinking about the fact that there's data being generated and what you do with that, and whether you're actually allowed to do what you're doing with that, and whether it's ethical to do it, as well as whether it's legal to do it, and perhaps get permission from people.
Yeah.
You say, you mentioned, Jay, there's lots of new legislation coming into play with regards to data. That's the General Data Protection Regulations, isn't it? GDPR as well. So that's going to be a big issue. A lot of people aren't aware of that at all either. Quite a few surveys and pieces of research have demonstrated that employers don't even know, a lot of employers, sorry, don't know that that is coming. I think it's a big topic for us, and we'll get we'll do a section on the on data protection legislation on the program fairly soon. So great. Well, thanks for that. Brilliant to have you in the show and the updates. Great also to talk about, of course, the updates to minimum wage and living wage as well, and maternity and paternity pay too. There's an interesting debate on Monday night this week of at the Festival of Debate, the first in this year's Festival of Debate events, a huge programme of events. But this Monday just gone, I was chairing an event for the Festival of Debate at the Millennium Galleries. Topic was, does Sheffield just need a pay rise after the campaign for a £10 minimum wage in Sheffield last year? And the speakers included Richard Wright, who's the Executive Director of Sheffield Chamber. We had the head of HR, Fiona, from Westfield Health. Penny, Sheffield Soup, many listeners will be familiar with Penny Raven as well. Mm-hmm. And Bob Jeffrey of Sheffield Trades Union Council. So a really lively, great, interesting debate about inequality, poverty, health, well-being, paying people for valuing people for work done. That's already taken place, of course, but I understand it was filmed. So hopefully someone from Sheffield Hallam was filming. Perhaps the Festival of Debate organisers might be putting it up. But I mention it because it's worth listeners getting along to the Festival of Debate. Most of the events are free. There's a huge programme this year. So take a look at the Festival of Debate website to hear more details. Jay, been brilliant to have you on the show once again, as ever, and people can get in contact with you and ask you questions. You're really active on Twitter. Of course, people can take a look at your website, find out more details about how your firm helps people as well. Do you want to give out your Twitter address and your website address?
Yes, thank you, Jamie. It's at Bayani HR Law, and it's www.bayani.law.co.uk. And can I just, before I go, give a little plug to my employment law update? So as you know, I run a HR forum, and next week on the 3rd of May, for any businesses that employ people, if they want to come along, it's free. It's at the Advanced Manufacturing Park on the 3rd of May between 12 and 2, but it's a really good one because it's an overview of employment law, what you need to know, what's coming in the future. And I've got a barrister who's going to be looking at the question of Brexit and whether Brexit has affected us so far. Is it going to matter? Will the election change employment law and what we've got to look forward to?
Super. Well, well worth getting along to that next week, 3rd of May. Jay Barney, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. It's time for a little less conversation. It's time, in fact, for some music. And the music is Elvis.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme, bringing you news, updates, how-tos and lots more about business and social enterprise. You can get in touch yourself if you want to be on the show, if you want to put someone forward to be on the show, or if you want to suggest a topic we should cover, then get in touch. Email jamie at sheffieldlive.org, send a text to 07 904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. So, a new exhibition is starting today at Union Street in the centre of town. This is a four-week exhibition, and there's a launch lunch going on today. You can take a look at Union Street and see a collection of wonderful hand-screen printed designs from many local artists. And I'm delighted to welcome to the studio today, printed by us. In the studio, we have Terry Murphy, James Creed, and Mark Musgrave talking about Printed by Us. Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks all for coming in. So, Printed by Us, what is it? What is the social enterprise? What is this new business? We've heard a little bit about it before. What is it? How did it come about?
Sure. Well, Printed by Us is a social enterprise working with people, vulnerable people in Sheffield who may have experienced homelessness or other challenging circumstances. And the idea is to run screen printing workshops, teaching them how to hand screen print designs created by local artists. And then the idea is we sell the prints and the money goes back into funding more workshops so that more people can be involved who are looking to move forward with their lives towards recovery.
Great. So quite a few aspects there. You sell the prints from local artists.
Yes.
Which local artists are involved there?
Oh, that's some amazing ones. So Tom Newell, yeah. Lisa Maltby, Sarah Abbott, Rich Wells, James Green, Ian Anderson of Designers Republic, just some really great names who have been so positive towards the project.
Fantastic, great news. So good to have the interest there from many local artists. And Lisa Maltby is on the programme next Friday.
Oh, great.
Talking about her own work as well. So that sort of follows really, really nicely. You work with people who've been perhaps vulnerable, recently homed, recently housed, and you teach people how to screen print. Now it's quite messy. It's quite tactile screen printing.
Yeah.
And do you have specialist facilities to do that? Where does that happen?
Yes, it happens at Sheffield Print Club. So we've collaborated with them, and David and Sarah there are wonderful, and so they've kind of helped run the workshops and kind of given the tuition. But it's great. That's part of the beauty of it, that it's so messy, but it's really accessible as well. So I'll let James talk about his experience later. But it is something that is very much a skillful analogue thing to do, but very satisfying as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really satisfying. And then you sell the prints, and the income that's raised from there goes into the project.
Yes, that's right.
And supports the work of the project. So in classic social enterprise style, you have you generate income and you use it for social outcomes.
Yeah.
What are the key priorities that you're trying to do then with the money that you raise?
Well, we want to create more designs, of course, by collaborating with artists. I think the idea with anyone involved in it is that eventually they can earn an income from being involved as they move towards paid work. To expand the collection of things that we do, and so we're currently looking at investing in some printing equipment, so we can do high quality ethically made t-shirt printing, and also onto mugs, and so offer that as a service to other businesses who may be wanting high quality promotional wear, or brands or artists. So we're looking to expand what we do beyond just art prints, so that more people can be involved and it creates more opportunities.
That sounds great as well, in terms of expansion beyond business to consumer into business to business, because there's a big market there for businesses that need branded materials too. And if you get down the high quality t-shirt printing route, as you say, you need to buy the appropriate equipment to do that. Then that opens up loads more opportunities. Okay, well, what I want to do in a moment, Mark, is come back to how people can buy prints, and of course the fact that people can go along to the exhibition at Union Street as well. But let's turn to James, if we can, to find out more about your involvement with Printed by Us. James, how did you get involved?
Well, Mark, in the initial stages, Mark came to the project and put forward that he'd had the idea for Printed by Us. And we did. There was a group of us. We did a lot of brainstorming on it. Working, you know, trying to work out what the main objectives, you know, how we wanted to the most important things. You know, we wanted it to be ethical. We wanted it to be high quality. And it moved on from there.
So that was a really collaborative process in terms of people.
There were a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
In those initial stages.
How long did that take?
That was, well, Mark, he did the original presentation, and then I think maybe two sessions after that, was it?
Yes, probably like July and August. Sort of did the initial sort of co-creation workshops there with various people from the Archer project, and then we did the first printing workshop in sort of late October, just a few months really, not long.
Indeed.
It was quite quick, yeah.
And the workshops themselves, how many people have been going along to those?
Well, I think in total, I think we've maybe had 7 or 8. I think 7 or 8 people in total. I mean, we've had four workshops, I think now. We've had different people at the different workshops.
And what do you get out most from the workshop? What are the key things that you most value?
I think it's the It's the process of, well, for me, it was about working with new people, working with David. And, you know, I was very, at the time that I started it, I was very anxious. I wasn't used to being being around new people. And, you know, they're very relaxed in their approach in how they teach. And, you know, it was something that I honestly didn't think that I'd be able to do at all. You know, I'd never been the never been like the practical, hands-on, creative type. I actually tried to get out of the workshop, but Terry wouldn't let me.
And
I was so glad, you know, so glad that, you know, I pushed through with it.
Yeah.
You know, because from knowing nothing to within half a day, you know, you're producing a high-quality screen print.
That's fantastic. In terms of thinking, this isn't for me, I'm not the type of person that can do this. Through to a massive boost in confidence and enjoying the whole thing as well. So confidence, of course, is something that comes up quite a lot on this program, whether it's people having the confidence to start their own business, whether it's social enterprises supporting people with confidence as well. But from your perspective, James, it's clearly an enjoyable journey as well, taking part in the workshops.
Yeah, it is. Very enjoyable.
Must be really satisfying.
You know, it gives you a lot of it gives you an experience in so many areas as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have a real eye for detail.
Yeah, I bet you do.
To do it, and you know, with the whole process of creating the prints and then selling the prints and, you know, mailing them off and, you know, talking to people and, you know, so it gives you experience of actually running a small business.
Yes, because it's not just going and doing the workshops and printing the screen prints, as you say. It's talking with the customers, it's getting the prints packaged out and mailed to people. So a few weeks ago we had Mark Harvey from ID8 Photography on the program, and he was talking about a crowdfunding campaign in aid of Printed by Us and involved with Printed by Us, and I bought one of the prints myself, and a few days later it popped through the letterbox. Fantastic, beautifully wrapped as well, and I think that campaign hit its target, as I recall, and got some word out there. That was about representation of homeless people in the media. But Printed by Us were working alongside Mark's campaign there. So James has talked a bit about his experiences. We'll come back to those in a moment. Terry, you are the man who made sure James did get involved.
Indeed.
So are you the sort of, are you carrot or stick?
A bit of both, I think.
Definitely.
So how does this fit into the other work that Arch Project does?
Right, well, I think one of the successes of Printed by Us comes with the timing. At the time that Mark brought the idea to the Archer Project were launching a new initiative called Just Works, which is aimed at moving people who have achieved some degree of stability in their life towards employment or towards a more fulfilling life. So the way Printed by Us is run is that together with Mark, it's run by the people involved in Just Works, principally James. So I think James has been downplaying his role in this a bit, because effectively Printed by Us is run by Mark and James. James produces the prints along with other people, and he processes packs, he gets, you know, welcomes the artists to our project in the centre of town to sign the prints. He's sold the prints at we were at Peddler's Market a couple of weeks ago. He's presented about the project in front of like 100 plus people at Sheffield Soup. And this is someone who just over a year ago was suffering from really severe anxiety and still battles that. So how, you know, I think Printer by Us and Just Works have really, you know, James will say has really helped be part of that process of his development.
Yes. So James, that's really, really good to hear. And yeah. Like many people involved in business and in social enterprise who are good at what they do, you're actually being very modest about it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So, Printed by Us sitting alongside of sort of within part of Just Works.
Right.
And you're getting involved with, or even incubating and making happen other social enterprise ideas as well.
Indeed.
There's quite a lot going on.
There is. It's the initial funding for Just Works was we got a 6-month grant.
Yeah.
You know, as with a lot of the social enterprise charity sector, there's not a lot of grant funding. So for us to continue, we've had to look at how we can move towards a more sustainable model.
Yeah.
Generating income. And part of what Just Works is looking to do, as I've already alluded to, is move people towards employment.
Yeah.
We take advantage of a particular part of the employment support allowance program that people can do supported permitted work. Now, yeah. What that means is they're able to earn up to just over £100 per week in a working within a supported environment without it affecting their benefits. Yeah. The idea being that helps manage that transition to work. So we were looking at opportunities for the people involved in Just Works to do that. There didn't appear to be many opportunities out there. So what we've in effect done is created those opportunities ourselves through micro businesses we manage, such as Printed by Us, and also other service contracts we deliver. Like I can announce today, we've just agreed a contract to clean Union Street, and we already have a cleaning contract at the Arch Project, at the Sheffield Cathedral. And we've got a few other things in the pipeline, which I'm hoping I'll be able to announce soon. So
great
the
news,
idea being
yeah.
effectively, the way I look at it is with those contracts, we act as an ethical agency. You know, we charge what an agency would. The people who work those contracts earn the living wage, yeah. and any surplus is reinvested back into making the model sustainable.
Yes, quite. And developing the model, supporting
exactly.
the model, and hopefully expanding the model then. Okay, brilliant. And your initial funding for 6 months, where did that come from?
That was a local sustainability fund.
Right, yeah.
I can't really give you a lot of details about it, but moving forward, we're looking at other, you know, I attended a conference recently about the Work and Health Programme, which is a new DWP initiative. But as with a lot of these things, there's, you know, it's very difficult, and you're playing the long game in securing those funding. So we are looking at, you know, funding for our micro businesses and different initiatives. Yeah. But the more we can move towards a sustainable model of generating income, the more likelihood that we're going to succeed in the long run and be able to provide good opportunities for the people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You're then in control as well. If you're generating your own income, and in terms of the definition of a social enterprise, it's sort of generating, you know, perhaps you might use grant funding to help start it, but you're generating your income in terms of your sustainability. But always interesting to know what sources are out there as well. And our first guest this morning, Jay Barney, talked about Steve Buckley coming along and talking about sources of funding for social enterprises. And again, I think it's worth us flagging up the Social Enterprise Exchange Program, and people listening to this show who are involved in social enterprise might benefit from taking a look at the Social Enterprise Exchange website for thinking about access not only to finance but also support for social enterprises too.
Equally, if anyone listening to this program has any, looking at what we're doing, has any ideas about how we might be, any funds or grants that might be available to us, feel free to contact me, and you can find the details at just-works.org.uk. So
brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, Terry, what we're going to do, we'll give the details out again at the end, because you've just announced that you've signed a cleaning contract at Union Street, for those who don't know it, because it has been on the show a few times. Union Street is collaborative workspace hub in the centre of Sheffield. So freelancers, small business owners, social enterprise owners or employees can work there, can pay for hot desking. It's become a thriving hub of activity. And of course, there are also lots of talks and events and pop-up cafes going on at Union Street. So in the time that I've been going along to Union Street for since it opened, so well over 12 months, it seems to have, it's really, really thriving now. Very, very busy. Loads of people in every single day. You're going to have your hands full with the cleaning because, it's a busy, busy, hectic, exciting space.
I think we're up to the challenge.
I think I'm sure you are. So is this a call out for other spaces in Sheffield? They could commission you for cleaning then?
Exactly, yeah. And if you take a look at our website, it's got a list of like the other services that we offer, micro businesses we manage or we're looking to develop.
Yeah, great. Okay, Terry. Well, we'll give listeners contact details again in a moment or two, if that's okay.
Brilliant, thank you.
So, returning to you, Mark, alongside your involvement with Printed by Us, you've been on the show before. You've been on the show quite a long time ago. It was this radio show has been going on Sheffield Live for 3.5 years now, I think, Business Live. So you were one of our early victims, and I mean guests, obviously, because you came to talk about the Level Collective, which is a business that you run yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So very, very briefly, if you can do this in sort of 1 minute, what's gone on for the Level Collective in the last couple of years? How have you been progressing?
It's been great. We've kind of grown an audience through Instagram and kind of sell to customers in over 40 countries, sort of, a good 50% over in the Pacific Northwest, sort of, California, Oregon, Washington, and Vancouver. So that's been quite exciting, and it's, that's the joy of social media and the internet, to be able to reach sort of international audiences. Work with lots of amazing artists kind of locally, such as Nick Deakin, and then sort of all across the world. Currently working on a backpack which will be made in the UK and have some Sheffield stainless steel buckles, and kind of doing everything the slow and painful way. So I made the first prototype the other day using a needle and thread I haven't picked up since year 9 at school, so a long time ago. So it's very much kind of learning on the job and being out of my depth, but it's really good.
Lots going on, and people can check out your website, Level Collective. Do you want to give out the actual proper address?
Yeah, sure. It's thelevelcollective.com, or on Instagram, it's at thelevelcollective.
Super. Okay, great. Well, I think we should return to explore the topic of international trade with you in future, Mark, because if you're selling so many of your T-shirts and beanies and other products internationally, really, really interesting times for you at the moment, I'm sure, with changes in the exchange rate. It'd be good to explore how that's affecting you, and of course how political changes in America and how Brexit might affect you. So
sure.
A call to come back into the Sheffield Live studio again soon.
Yeah, definitely.
James, if you had one key thing that you know now about running a social enterprise, that it would be, that you've learned a lesson that other people might benefit from, what's the sort of biggest piece of advice you might give people running a social enterprise operationally?
Well, I think it's the same with anything in life. It's about persistence.
Yeah. So
you've got to persist.
Yeah, don't let the challenges.
Yeah, things come up, and and it's not always straightforward, but they are challenges. They're not problems.
That's a really, really good perspective as well.
And if a problem is insurmountable, but a challenge is, a challenge can be done.
Yes. So see it as a challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
And ask for, well, look at ways you can overcome that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So people can get on and down to Union Street today.
Yeah.
And over the next, it's 4 weeks, isn't it?
It's 4 weeks. Yeah.
And so you'll be able to see the exhibition of prints, and you can also buy and view prints from Printed By Us at the Printed By Us website. That's printedbyus.org. Printed By Us is also on Twitter, @PrintedByUs. Other social media channels are available too, Facebook, Instagram as well, Pinterest, I think, too. But get down to Union Street. It's really, really worth taking a look at the prints and take a look at the website, printedbyus.org. So I think it really remains for me to thank our guests today, Terry Murphy, James Creed, Mark Musgrave. Thanks for coming in and talking about Printed By Us.
Thank you.
Do get in touch with the team. And do also think about getting in touch with Just Works, and they can offer services to you too. How do they get in touch?
Just-works.org.uk.
Brilliant. Super. Well,
we are Just Works on Twitter.
Excellent. Great. Thanks for listening today to listeners. Thanks also to Jay Bowney, our first guest in the studio today, and to Sangeeta as sound engineer today. Next up on Sheffield Live, our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk. That's on from 10 all the way through to noon. So stay tuned for that. That'll be a great show. As ever, this programme will be back on air next Friday, and coming into the studio next week is Lisa Maltby. She'll be talking about her experience as a designer and illustrator and what is professionalism in business. This is going to be a really interesting one. Lisa posted a blog post that created all sorts of responses from people. Really looking forward to that. We're going to play out now with a track of music. This one has been chosen by guest James today. James, it's Hozier. We're going to play Arsonist's Lullaby. And quick flag, get on down to the Printed By Us exhibition at Union Street over the next 4 weeks, or check them out on the website. Thanks for listening.
We're open for business live.